no specific overload, right? We need to be progressing somehow in some fashion. Progression can look like more reps, could look like less reps. If you're going to do less reps, then we need to add more sets, or we need to add more exercises, or we need to add more intensity. Fine. We could reduce our rest interval. Lots of ways, but there has to be some progression. How do you decide on what to progress? Well, what are you trying to get? If you want to get stronger, you don't need to worry about as many reps and sets, but you have to add more weight to the bar.
Right.
If you want to get more caloric expenditure, more fat loss, then I don't really care about the weight on the bar. I need to get more work done. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll add more reps, more sets, more exercises, more days a week. Like, you have lots of options, right? If you're trying to just stimulate different adaptation that you haven't had in a while, okay, maybe you do none of that stuff and you go down to no rest and you put it into a big circuit and you keep your heart rate going the entire time. The quality of every repetition and how much weight you can put on goes down, but fine, because you're not really there to try to maximize strength during that phase of your training. You're trying to do something else different, right? This is also where I'll encourage, you need to have fun.
Yeah.
You really do, right? And so maybe you're going to go one day a week, you're going to do a cardio kickboxing class. Maybe one day a week, you're going to go work out with a friend and you're going to do jumping jacks, like whatever. Like, do something that you're like, that's really fun. It doesn't have to necessarily just be like a structured program, but you've got to make sure there's some sort of progressive overload. That would be one of the number one reasons why people like stop getting success or are getting successes by training, is that, okay, what's the progression? Mm-hmm. Second one that comes to mind oftentimes is, I've talked about this now in large part, but I never called it out directly. And that is, you're always playing a game of specificity versus variation. When you get more specific, you get a more clear adaptation faster, but you compromise well-roundedness, right? Mm-hmm. If you go super well-rounded, you compromise, you feel like you get nowhere, right? So it's, imagine you're playing 50 games of chess at once, mm-hmm. and you're making one move. Like, you could be there for 5 hours and you look across the board and you're like, nothing happened. I didn't win any game yet. Nothing's progressed. Well, yeah, because you're doing one move in all these different areas. And like, but if you did that actually for years, you would eventually have all those 50 games finished. The specificity one is being like, no, I'm not even going to start those other 49 games. I'm going to play this game completely, and then I'll go to the next game and the next game. You can't argue one's better than the other. By the end of this, say, 5 years, in both those scenarios, you'll have finished all 50 games.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, like, what are you monitoring? What are you qualifying progress? If you're like, I'm kind of feeling a little bit better, but I'm really worried about how I feel a year from now, we'll do 50 things at once.
Yeah.
And progress them all. If you need to see feedback now, be more specific, but make sure you're progressing.
So I have a question for you. I read a paper on, it was a review paper on sexual intercourse, and they tried to determine the metabolic equivalent of sex, and they looked at a bunch of review papers. They looked at what positions elicited the most demands, mm-hmm. and what sort of strain there was on the body. So found that the mean intensity was about 6 metabolic equivalent units, which is about moderate intensity, which is similar to, they wrote in the paper, jogging, swimming, stationary rowing.
Totally.
That man on top is the greatest demand, and that, at least from the ones they looked at, lumbar flexion, hip flexion, rotation, abduction are sort of the most utilized or demanding areas.
Yep.
So in terms of, you're wanting to optimize your ability to have sex. So forget, they don't want a good life. They don't want to be
I love it. This is so much
sex.
More fun. Yeah.
They want to have good sex until they're 80, 90, 100 years old.
Yeah.
How can they do that?
When I started as a faculty member 12 years ago, this came up my very first semester. And I will never forget this, because my friend Lenny Wiersma, he's a sports psychologist. He's phenomenal. He's since retired. But he looked over at me. I don't know if this came up in a faculty meeting or something. I swear to you, because that was I don't know if it was that exact same paper or one of those papers that meant on house, but he looked at me and he was like, they've never seen me have sex. And I was like, ah. I died laughing. And I was like, yeah. Like, he's an endurance athlete, but I was like, yeah. And I'm like,
it's
man.
So variable. It is so variable.
Of course.
And they did acknowledge that in the paper. It's variable based on position, based on how long you're having sex.
Style and all of
that.
Sure. Yeah.
Workload.
Great. And not every time you have sex, it's the same. Right. So some are one or the other. All right. So great. You're looking for a couple of things. Now, I can't speak to one part of sexual performance. That's your expertise. So you can handle that side of the equation. I'll also say, like, the physical abilities to it. Obviously, getting your VO2 max as high as one possibly can would be the win there. So if you're talking about exercising at 6 METs, right? So this is now like our line of independence. Instead of calling it line of independence, I should call it like a line of sex.
I bet you people would listen more.
Way more, right? Yeah. It's like, if you fall below this, you can't have sex anymore.
Yeah.
Whoa, I don't care about someone else wiping my ass when I poop, but like, if I can't have sex, I'm out, right?
Yeah.
Your marketing is on point here.
It's so important.
It's great. Yeah, no, totally. Okay. So obviously getting your VO2 max as high as possible. You're talking about very obviously hip extension, mm-hmm. right? Now you want to do that in a way, a couple things. So you want to make sure.
Some of the best moments in life are spontaneous, unplanned. But for men dealing with moderate to severe erectile dysfunction or ED, preparing for intimacy can rob you and your partner of spontaneity. The joy of living in the moment. Now you can restore that spark in your relationship with the AMS 700 implant, a clinically proven permanent solution designed for your satisfaction and your partner's. It's the number one physician-preferred implant. It's built to look and feel natural. Happy partners agree. 92% of patients and 96% of their partners report sexual activity with the implant excellent or satisfactory. It gives you the ability to respond to your partner's wishes in the moment, not minutes or hours later. The AMS 700. No pills, no injections, no waiting. For more information, visit edcure.org/podcast. That's edcure.org/podcast. Sponsored by Boston Scientific.
You get this. I'm like actually super focused. This is really hilarious. I've never thought about it like this. But one of the major issues people have with hip extension and low back pain is they fail to get terminal hip extension. So what that means is almost everybody can extend their hip. So right now we're sitting, our hip is flexed, right? So if I stand up, you stand up, and we're extending our hip, right? That's what it means. Everyone can do that. A lot of people will fail to get that last 10%. And so when they're standing up, in order to get their hips fully forward, they can't get there. And so what they actually end up doing is arching their low back.
Yeah.
So they're getting hip extension via there. Now this happens for one of two global reasons. One, you have restrictive hip flexion, which means so as something like that, something on the anterior side is extensively tight. So when you go to extend that hip, something's blocking it. Because the psoas originates in the anterior side, the front side, I got a lot of jargon there. Since that hip flexor muscle starts on the front middle portion of your spine, when it gets tight, it pulls your low back forward, right? Mm-hmm. This is like belly forward, low back arch, right?
Yep.
So you are erect. I see that. That was a little pun.
Good.
You're erect here. You're standing vertical. Your head and shoulders feel that, but you're not getting there in the right position, right? So you've compromised one to get the other. So it's either that. Second one is, it can actually be a failure of contractile properties of the glutes. So you're not getting to hip extension properly because it could be an adductor issue, could be piriformis issue. There's lots of actual anatomy here that's causing terminal hip extension to be there. And so making sure that you cannot hurt your low back, especially if it's man on top or any hip extension position, you want to make sure that you can get into full hip extension without compromising your low back. This does two things. One, keeps you out of injury, and two, enhances power, right?
Yeah.
Force production is greater when we can actually get there via active contraction rather than blocking and getting hip extension, what feels like hip extension, from low back. Obviously, our low back is much weaker than our glutes, and so we want to make sure our force output's coming from that area. You do both of those things. In addition, now we have higher efficiency, so muscular endurance is higher. I can't promise you that your sexual stamina will be any higher, but your fatigue, your perception of fatigue will be much higher because you're moving much more efficiently.
And you won't hurt yourself. Which is truly serious. There was another study where they surveyed hip surgeons who did hip replacements. And well, I don't have the exact number, but at least 50 of them had mentioned that someone had dislocated their new hip having sex.
Oh, yeah.
Right after surgery. And so you can injure yourself, whether it's post-surgical or not. I mean, you can have hip injury and obviously lower back strain from sex.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You'll also want to pay attention to knee range of motion as well. So making sure that your knee can get into full flexion. Mm-hmm. This is now like a rectus femoris, tend to be some sort of a quadricep issue. It can be anterior of your knee as well, so your tibialis anterior. But making sure that's going to allow you to be able to get, depending on what positions you're in, as long as, because if your knee is dysfunctional, it's going to lead to dysfunction. Most of your muscles cross one joint, okay? But at every single joint, you have a muscle that'll cross multiple. In the case of your hip, you have the quadriceps. That means four muscles, right? So three of those four muscles just cross the knee joint. So they all come together to make the patella and cross the front of the kneecap there. One of them actually also crosses the knee joint, crosses the hip. And so this is how you have one muscle that is going to partially control multiple joints. So making sure that you're paying attention to that, because if you don't and that muscle is a problem or any other muscle in the knee is a problem, that then results in your hip being in a bad position. So it may not have anything to do with the hip flexors or the glutes. It could be dysfunction at the knee that's then enabling or disabling the hip to function properly.
All right. So make sure you're getting full hip extension.
Full hip extension.
Are there specific exercises that they can do for that?
It would depend on dysfunction, but making sure, number one, there's nothing blocking it. So making sure there's no dysfunction on the anterior side, so the hip flexor or the knee flexor or the extenders. And then secondarily, being conscious about quality of contraction. You mentioned earlier mind-muscle connection, which is the idea of don't just worry about the sets and reps. Think about the muscles that you want to contract and focus on quality of contraction. So for hip extension, really paying attention to when you finish extension on your squat or your hip thrust, your lunges, your step-ups, anything that you're doing where you're extending the hip, making sure that when you're finishing those things, you're doing it intently and you're not just getting 90% of the way there and then going on to the next repetition or finishing with hip extension, really finishing that with a full glute contraction until you get in that vertical erect position. That would be the tip. There are individual exercises. The hip thrust is an obvious one. Brett Contreras has brought us that for a long time. But any number of ones can be done. A lunge, a step up, a split squat, rear foot elevated split squats, any number of those things can be done to help.
And then in terms of knee joints, stability and muscular strength for that.
Yeah. So anytime that you're stabilizing your hip, knee is going to be involved, right? So those same exercises are going to do the same thing. Yeah. Now, think about it this way. If you're doing, say, a lunge or a split squat, the more your knee is staying vertical, your shin is being vertical, so your knee is over your toe, the more generally you're going to be challenging behind the knee joint, hip extension, right? Hamstrings. If you let your knee travel over your toes, now it's going to be putting more of a quad dominant position generally. And so if you've looked at your program and you're like, man, I've done one or two or three exercises that are very hip dominant already, maybe change the position so that your knee is out in front of your toe to get something to go after the quad, because you don't want to leave that there. Or maybe you do something as simple and straightforward as a leg extension machine, right? Whatever it is. Here's the key to all that stuff. I gave you some specific exercises, but none of that crap matters because your biomechanics are different. All you should care about is, do you actually feel it in that muscle? When you're doing squats and you think squats are for your glutes and you never feel your glutes get tired, they never get sore and they're not growing, then the back squat's not working your glute. Despite the fact that the research could say it is great exercise for it, I could have great results for it. Your technique is different. Your anthropometrics are different. Your positioning is different, right? So that's the three stuff I pay attention to. Do you feel it when you're actually exercising? Is it getting at all sore? And sore is not better, but at least indicates to you that it's working. And then three, are you seeing results? If not, you need to move your foot position. You need to do it on a different machine. You need to grab a different implement.